Here's a page from the headlines we're not likely to see
page.
Department. Yes, indeed. Lame duck congressional session makes history. Not a headline we're likely to see.
Also, John Hockenberry, not cynical about Congress.
Well, no. I think it is fair to say, and this is not a cynical remark, that the takeaway from this particular lame duck session is not going to be just cleaning out of desks and farewell dinners. They actually have some very big unfinished business to get done. And tax cuts really are the big issue. The extension of the Bush era tax cuts were a big campaign issue leading up to the midterms. Now, with President Obama signaling some compromise on extending those so-called tax cuts for the rich, we're going to try and piece together what it is that lawmakers are talking about. What are the levers that they can pull, presidents and congresses, when they talk about raising or lowering taxes? Here's a little trip down memory lanes.
Read my lips.
Now we can cut taxes in a more comprehensive way.
Tax relief is now on the way.
I haven't raised taxes on anybody. I've cut taxes.
You got your Bush, you got your Clinton, you got your Bush, you got your Barack Obama. Joining us now is Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Also on the line, Joel Slemrod, professor of economics at the University of Michigan, who's the author of Taxing Ourselves, A Citizen's Guide to the Debate Over Taxes. Gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning. John.
So I want to talk about four levers here that the politicians are typically either saying they're pulling or are actually pulling when they decide to cut taxes. The first lever is easy. It's totally easy. It's purely political. Lower taxes, voters get happy. Raise taxes, voters get mad. Who in history is a good example, Joel Slemrod, of this particular lever?
Well, both Reagan and the more recent Bush campaigned on across the board tax cuts and delivered on them once in office. They also both talked about lowering government expenditure, but delivered much less so on that promise. And in both cases, big deficits followed.
It's interesting. George H.W. Bush punished for raising taxes. George W. Bush actually rewarded for lowering them. How politically sensitive are tax cuts from this purely political point of view, Todd Zwillick, this time around?
Well, they're really sensitive, but there may be a little bit of insulation right now, John. As Congress heads back in today, we don't know where the compromise is going to land, but one compromise they're talking about is, well, maybe we can just do a two-year extension. That means they're going to fight about it again in 2012, which makes this tax debate really the opening gambit in the 2012 presidential election, which is tiring. But that seems like the dynamic we might be headed towards.
Tiring, but it is all about the economy, stupid. That's what the midterm elections were about, and the 2012 elections are going to be about that. Let's talk about the economic levers that Congresses and presidents like to pull when they talk about tax increases or tax reductions. This second lever is familiar to you trickle-down theorists. If you've heard the term wealth effect, the idea here is if people feel wealthier, they spend more, businesses hire more, providing a stimulus. Who in the past has done tax policy well to produce this stimulative effect, Joel Slemrod?
Well, John Kennedy certainly talked about this and the tax cuts that passed during his administration and during Johnson's administration have often been pointed to as successful counter-cyclical fiscal policy. The problem now is that we're caught between a fragile recovery and incredibly large long-term deficits that most everyone thinks that we eventually and pretty soon should deal with. And that might include tax increases.
And because there's so much debt in the equation here, and I can't resist going back and listening to some JFK, well, the JFK's sort of economics here doesn't really apply now. Listen to this, won't you?
The billions of dollars this bill will place in the hands of the consumer and our businessmen will have both immediate and permanent benefits to our economy. Every dollar released from taxation that is spent or invested will help create a new job and a new salary. And these new jobs and new salaries can create other jobs and other salaries.
Well, that's a Kennedy economics. But Todd Zwillick, with the debt so much in the equation here, you can't directly pass through tax cuts to jobs at this point, right?
You can't. We've described this as sort of a game of Jenga at this point, John. You know, the stackable game where if you pull one little piece, the other pieces could fall down. Tax cuts, the economy, debts, and deficits are all intimately interrelated. And the debt is so bad that the impulse to lower taxes is going to explode that big D number even more. And the difficulty Democrats feel like they're having with Republicans now is that they're riding a wave. Voters sent them in. But the message from Republicans who have the cudgel right now is cut taxes and lower the deficit. But there is really no mathematical way to do that unless you slash the things that make voters really, really mad. Okay. Medicare and Social Security. That's the bottom line.
And it's not just voters that the message goes to. And this relates to the third lever I want both of you to consider. The third lever of taxes relates to interest rates and the overall financial credibility around the world. It relates to the percentage of the deficit compared to GDP. If the debt is high compared to GDP, it says one thing to the world. If it's low, it says something else. If you raise taxes to lower your deficit, you tell the world that you're willing to, take hard measures to make yourself more fiscally sound. Who in the past has been a good president in terms of sending this international measure or an international message of fiscal responsibility? Joel Slemrod?
Well, Bill Clinton in 1993 made fiscal responsibility a centerpiece of his tax and fiscal policy, arguing that by not giving in and lowering taxes, interest rates would come down, and that would be a boost to investment and to the economy.
And indeed, the percentage of debt in relation to the GDP declined by something like 8% during his second term. Todd Zwillick, is there any interest, any appetite for sending that global message here in Washington this week?
John, there probably is, but that's in the back rooms. That's amongst the sort of wonks and eggheads who might think in those terms. I have to tell you that Washington is very concerned, John, that there aren't any levers left on the economy. That, you know, they've tried quantitative easing and all this Fed stuff we talked about last week. Stimulus has been tried. Trickle-down works. It takes years. There's concern there's not much really they can left to do except wait for the recovery.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent. Finally, Joel Slemrod, can we say, are Americans getting what they pay for in their taxes before we go?
Well, they're paying in taxes a lot less than what they're getting from government, and that's the problem. That adds up to big deficits, which have to be dealt with soon.
All right, Joel Slemrod, professor of economics at the University of Michigan and author of Taxing Ourselves, A Citizen Guide to the Debate Over Taxes. That little segment, a little guide for the lame duck Congress, which will be dealing with tax cut. Joel and Todd, thanks so much.
Sure thing.
Thank you.